to you who put forth an effort to be here in the house of God. I'd like to read today out of the book of Acts, chapter 24. The book of Acts, chapter 24. And begin the reading with verse number 22. Acts chapter 24 and verse 22. And the Bible says, "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, When Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. My Heavenly Father, I do want to thank Thee that we're able to gather in this place today to worship Thee, to read Thy Word, and to look into it. And I pray now, Lord, for myself, and for these who listen, may the Word of God go forth and find good ground and bring forth fruit unto eternal life. And I make this petition in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice with me verse 24, the last four words in that verse. This is my text. The faith in Christ. I want to preach to you, as the Lord be pleased to help me, from that text, the faith in Christ. Now, men by and large seek to do two things concerning the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. They either seek to isolate themselves from the truth or insulate themselves against the truth. Many seek to isolate themselves from the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Example, empty pews and empty seats in the house of God this morning. Why don't people come to church? People don't come to church because they want to isolate themselves from the truth of God. And even among those who come to the house of God, there are many among that number, and some of you here today, seek to insulate themselves against the truth. They've got all kinds of reasons and all kinds of excuses why they can't close with the truth and the demands of the Word of God. You see, it all started back in Genesis chapter 3 when our daddy Adam took of the fruit of the tree that God said, don't eat of it, for in the day ye eat thereof, you will surely die. He and his wife ate of that fruit of that tree, and when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, the Bible said that Adam and his wife, they ran and they hid themselves from God amongst the trees of the garden. They sought to isolate themselves from the truth. And then when God came and they had to face God, they began to insulate themselves against the truth. by making excuse for the situation they were in. I say to you today that most people either seek to isolate themselves from the truth or insulate themselves against the truth. But thank God that God comes seeking the sinner. In this portion of Scripture that I've read in your hearing, we see God seeking a sinner. Paul was a man saved by the grace of God and raised up by God to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And you'll not find anybody in this Bible that was any more greatly used than this man Paul. As Brother Mike said this morning in Sunday school, he felt himself a debtor to get the gospel out to people. And Paul had a desire in his heart to get to Rome, the city of Rome, the capital, the hub of the Roman Empire. In that day, they said all cities lead to Rome. And Paul wanted to go there. And God wanted Paul to go there. But Paul didn't get to go the way he wanted to go. God had a different route for him. You know, a lot of times you can have a desire to do something for God, and it be the will of God, but God not lead you exactly the same way that you think He's going to lead you. Paul wanted to get in Rome, and God wanted Paul in Rome, but He didn't want him there as soon as Paul wanted to get there, and He certainly didn't take him by the easiest route to get to Rome. You see, God wanted Paul in Rome, but there were some people that He wanted Paul to preach to and witness to in that journey to Rome. And so He let Paul get put in prison. And while Paul was in prison at Caesarea, the Bible said there was a governor there named Felix. And that governor had to listen to Paul's defense because the Jews from Jerusalem were accusing him of a number of things. And when he heard somewhat of Paul's case, and he heard about a new religion, as it were, a new sect, a new way, he wanted to hear about the faith in Christ. He was curious. And Paul had an opportunity to give this man the gospel and to talk to him about the faith in Christ. Now, there are three things in this portion of Scripture that I want to emphasize to you this morning. First of all is the word mercy. Secondly, the word madness, and thirdly, the word money. Now notice with me, first of all, this word mercy. I see mercy in this portion of Scripture because God in His good providence brought a man into Felix's life who knew the truth, who wasn't influenced by the philosophies of this world and devil-devised man-made religion, but a man who knew the truth, who knew the truth about man and his condition, who knew the truth about life and death and a long eternity beyond death's door. When I read this portion of Scripture, I see the mercy of God. I said to you that men seek to isolate themselves from the truth and insulate themselves against the truth. And in that day and in that generation and that age, there was probably no other person any more insulated and isolated than this man Felix. He's a Roman governor. Therefore, he's fairly wealthy and he has a certain amount of power. This man is isolated from the truth. He lives in a little world of his own. But God invaded his world in mercy with a gospel preacher. This man had insulated himself against the truth. The Bible tells us in this portion of Scripture that his wife was a Jewess. That means that he was exposed to religion and what religion can do for you. It can make you feel pretty good about yourself and have a hope of pleasing God one day after a while when you stand before Him. This man is insulated against the truth by religious lies. But God in mercy comes. And God has a gospel preacher to reason with this man. The Bible says here in verse 25, and as he, that is Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Let me say to you this morning, first of all, that the gospel, the demands of the gospel, what God says is reasonable. It's not unreasonable. There's not a thing that God asked of sinner or saint, unbeliever or believer, that's unreasonable. And Paul sought to reason with Felix concerning the faith in Christ. And he had three heads to his message: righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Three things Paul talked to Felix about. First of all, he talked to him about what God demands. Righteousness. Do you understand this morning that God demands from every one of us, from every person on the face of this earth, God demands perfect holiness and righteousness. Do you understand that? God doesn't expect you to be a little religious and to do some good things and not do some bad things. God expects from you and from me perfect holiness and righteousness. And God will not compromise what He demands. When I read the Old Testament, I read where God gave a nation, Israel, 10 commandments. And in those 10 commandments is a revelation of the holiness and the righteousness and the justice and the innate goodness of the one true and living God. And God gave those 10 commandments to Israel to show them what He demands of them and what He demands of every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth. You see, people got an idea that God expects us to be pretty good people, but He doesn't expect us to be perfect. Not only does God expect us to be perfect, God demands. Are you listening to me? God help you and give you a hearing ear, every last one of you. God demands from you, and He will accept nothing less from you. Do you understand that? God will accept nothing less than perfect holiness and righteousness. Paul reasoned with Felix about righteousness, what God demands. And then he reasoned with him about temperance. And that word temperance just has the idea of strength. Sometimes some of us who are a little volatile, we go off, as it were, and we lose our temper. And you may have had it said to you by some well-meaning person before, as they waggle their finger and say, "Temper, temper, temper." Well, what are they saying? They're saying, get control of yourself. Be strong and take control and control your emotions and your anger. You see, first of all, Paul dealt with him about what God demands, righteousness. And then he moved to temperance, what God declares. What does God declare? God declares in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is what God demands, perfect holiness and righteousness. And then God turns around and says, you cannot deliver what I demand. You've sinned. Every last one of you. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20. God said, every last one of us, You may meet somebody who tells you they're keeping the Ten Commandments. But when you go down that list, there'll be at least one that their conscience will smack them over. And James 2:10 said, if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of all of it. You say, I've never killed anybody. Have you ever told a lie? You're guilty of murder. You're guilty of adultery. You're guilty of all of it. When you break the law in one point, you're guilty of all. It's as if God said, here's the test, and you've got to score a perfect 100 on the test, or you fail. What does God declare? That every last one of us have sinned and come short, unable to deliver what He demands. Paul's reasoning with him of faith in Christ. He reasons of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Judgment is ahead out there, Felix. God has determined to bring every person that's ever lived, is now living, or shall live on this earth, up before the judgment bar of God. You know where you're headed? Myself included. Every last one of us are headed for the judgment. Not you and your best friend. Not you and the preacher to say a good word for you. Not you and somebody else, but you by yourself, on your own, with nothing. You're going to stand before a holy God and give an account of the deeds done in the body. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, the Lord Jesus said that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. God has appointed a day when He's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised him from the dead. Now listen, you don't have a thing to worry about if you're as holy as God is. If you're as holy as the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin, who knew no sin, who in Him is no sin, the Bible said, you don't have a thing to worry about. But if you realize today that what God said about you is true, that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, you ought to realize today and may God drive it home to your soul, that there's an awful day of judgment coming. Unless you're as holy as God Himself is holy, you are doomed to eternal damnation. I'm looking at people this morning. I'm looking at people this morning who are soon to be in hell. Oh, you're pretty good, as we call goodness among humans. But I'm not talking about you're pretty good. I'm talking about what God in His Bible demands of every last one of us. Perfect holiness and righteousness. Oh, God, help you. Do you understand this morning that God doesn't expect of you for you to get to heaven to make some sort of little profession, to pray a little prayer, to get baptized, to become a member of the church, to start coming to church faithfully and put a little tithe money in, and then everything's going to be all right with you? Listen. God demands much more than that. God demands of you And God demands of me perfect holiness and righteousness. And God says, you're not delivering what He demands. And God said He's going to judge you for it and then put you in hell. You see, Felix is being preached to one-on-one by one of the greatest gospel preachers that ever preached. And he's saying, Felix, you need to think about righteousness, what God demands. You need to think about temperance, how your life doesn't measure up, Felix, to what God demands. And Felix, you need to look ahead beyond today and even this week. And you need to look ahead, Felix, beyond death's door to that awful day of judgment. That awful day of judgment. And Paul no doubt reasoned with him and said, Felix, though there's no hope when you look in yourself, yet there is hope in this Christ that I'm preaching to you about. Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Son of God, entered this world sinless and lived a sinless life. And then the Bible said, He became the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sin, that He took the sin of the world in His own body and went to Calvary's cross and paid the sin debt that you and I could not pay. He offered to God that which you and I could not offer, a sinless, spotless life. And in that sinless and spotless life, He paid the sin debt for mankind. And Paul says, Felix, what God demands, God provides in the person of His Son, Jesus the Christ. Felix, you're a wicked sinner. But thank God, Felix, I'm glad to say to you today that there's mercy with God and your sins can be washed away by the blood of the Lamb of God. And not only that, Felix, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when you receive Him, will be imputed to your account. And as far as God is concerned, Felix, legally, at the justice bar of God, you are declared and reckoned to be as holy as God Himself is holy. That's the gospel. The gospel is that God demands something we can't deliver, righteousness and holiness. But God has provided what we cannot deliver if we'll cease from our own works and cast aside the filthy rags of our own self-righteousness and cast ourselves upon the mercy of God in Jesus Christ and by faith lay hold of Him. Then the blood that was shed for us washes our sins away. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to our account. And then when we look forward to the day of judgment, we're not hoping that God will do something. We know what God will do. God will receive us because we have imputed to us perfect holiness and righteousness. I see the mercy of God here. It's the mercy of God. I'm not nearly the best preacher that ever preached the gospel, but it's the mercy of God that you're sitting here this morning, you that are lost, and God is using me in a measure to reason with you and to do my best to explain to you that being pretty good is not enough. Being a Baptist is not enough. You must be as holy as God Himself is, or you're going to hell. You better take the Lord Jesus. You better get to Him. You better lay hold of Him. You better trust Him. He's the only one that can provide what a holy God demands. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. I'd like to have been there that day. I'd like to have been standing off to the side and watching Felix and his wife Drusilla and listening to Paul as he reasoned, as he wrestled, as the Spirit of God empowered him, and all the demons and devils of hell withstood that gospel message. Mercy. Oh, I see mercy here. And then secondly, I see madness. Madness. Look at verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And he answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you." Now look at it as Paul's preaching. There's a trembling that starts inside this man, Felix. And he shudders. He felt in his soul the truth of what Paul's saying. He knows within himself that what this man is saying to him is reasonable and right. And he feels, he experiences the moving of the Spirit of God on his inner man. And it shows up on the outside. He trembles. And then he said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you." That tells me that Paul pressed him. Paul didn't say, "Go home, think about it. Go home, pray about it." Paul said, "Now, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. God says, come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool." He said, "When I have a convenient season, when I get ready, I've heard it. Oh, the times I've heard it. Preacher, when I get ready, when I get ready, I'll get saved." Oh, that's the devil's best tool. To hop up on your shoulder, friend, and to tell you you got plenty of time, you got plenty of time. But if you've ever felt, heard, sensed that God is speaking to you and drawing you to repentance and faith, you'd be a madman to say, "Not now, not now." Listen what the preacher said in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 3. "The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. There's some of you aware. Madness is in your heart. There's some of you right here in this intersection. Madness is in your heart. There's some of you over on this side. Madness is in your heart. You're not right with God. And you know you're not right with God. Oh yeah, you come to church some. But you're not right with God. If you felt that cool breeze on the wings of the death angel that chilled you to your soul just now, you'd have no hope. Yet you don't come to Christ. There's no hope anywhere but in Christ. Yet you don't come to Christ. I say to you, I see madness in this portion of Scripture. But I'm looking at people this morning who are filled with madness just like Felix. The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. Notice with me, lastly, money. Money. Cursed money. Verse 26, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. Felix, you spiritual pauper. Unable to yield to God what he demands. Telling a God-anointed preacher to go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. All because you want money? Cursed, damnable money? Think if I can just get a little more money, get me a better house, a better car, a little more money in the bank from a retirement, a little this, a little that. Money. Look, here's a poisoned man, poisoned by sin. And here's a gospel preacher offering him the antidote to that poison. And he rejects it. Here's a man drowning in a sea of sin. And here comes a gospel preacher throwing out the life ring, saying, get in the lifeboat. And a man named Felix refusing to get in the lifeboat. Madness is in his heart and in his head. He wants money. More money. That's what kept him from Christ. Money. Money. Did his wife influence him? She is a Jewess, not a Christian. I don't know. I don't know what's keeping you from Christ. I don't know what's keeping you from repentance and faith. But whatever it is, it's not worth it. This life will soon be over. And everything, friend, everything you've piled up for yourself, everything is going to be left to somebody else. You came into this world naked and you're going to leave naked. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. What's the last glimpse I get of Felix in the Bible? I see a man rejecting a life ring, rejecting the lifeboat, with, as it were, money, dollar bills and $5 bills and tens and twenties and fifties and hundreds floating around on top of the water. And this man soon to go down for the last time, and he's reaching out, not for the life ring, but for more money. More money. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Do you know you have what God demands? Do you have the Lord Jesus? Have you received Him? Has He received you? The faith in Christ. I've done the best I can do. I've done the best I can do to reason with you. And if you realize the truth and sense it in your soul, you better right now lift up prayer to God. Ask Him to be merciful to you and to save you for Jesus' sake, and to give you the righteousness of Christ, because you don't have any of your own that's acceptable to Him. Oh, if you have any desire to stay out of hell, and you feel now the need in your soul, you better ask God while the door of mercy is open. You better come through the door. Because one day, for you, friend, the door of mercy is going to be closed. And you may cry and shout in that day. But a holy God, a God you've sinned against mightily, will shut out your prayer. Will you come to Christ? Will you come to Christ? Or will you go on and drop off in the hell? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Oh Lord, I pray that You'll have mercy. Show mercy. Be abundant and rich in mercy today, Lord, to these who do not know the Savior. May this be the good hour that they come to Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.